American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at birthnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit birthnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Proud Citizen is a proven Sire Classic winner with a great upside. His current crop of two-year-olds are the result of 143 mares covered. More to come. He covered 118 the next year. Remember, Proud Citizen has already sired four champions, two winners of the Kentucky Oaks, 14% stakes horses, and their earners of more than $32 million. With bigger and better crops on the way, the sky's the limit. Proud Citizen is by Gone West, and he stands for $10,000 live foal. Another stallion with a bright future is Haynesfield, the grade one winner of over $1,309,000 by the superior sire Sprightstown. Haynesfield is siring superb individuals. He and he has been labeled by Market Watch as a likely prospect to claim the title of leading freshman sire of 2015. Horsemen apparently agree because his first crop two-year-olds are sold for an average of $177,333. Haynesfield stands for $10,000 live foal, and both he and Proud Citizen stand in Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Yeah. All righty. Well, good morning, everyone. And Michael Blowen just walked in the door. Jack is here. Res is here.
Yes, sir.
And,
hey, Michael.
We've got his Game On Dude hat on today. And...
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Game on, dude.
Very dressy. The Game On, dude.
This is my friend Mark. You remember Mark?
Yeah, of course.
From Red Brand Fence, who helps us.
I remember Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How are you?
Is that your son? I think yes, you've been here before,
yeah,
too. Looks just like him, you know.
Too bad for Keith.
All right. Well, let's see here. Who we've got on the show today? Francis Relihan is coming in. And with Vinery. And, of course, Vinery has been...
She's fabulous.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
She gave us a horse.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know these.
Bint Marsquet. Bint. B-I-N-T.
Bint.
M-A-R-S-C-A-Y.
Oh, okay.
Champion Australian horse. Mare.
Okay. I don't remember. Maybe that's why I'm standing here with a blank look on my face, which is, you know, it's pretty... usual, but as always, but I didn't remember that one.
There you go.
Okay, well, Francis, of course, has been around for a while and not too long. Gorgeous girl. I'm looking forward to her coming.
I don't think you're supposed to say women have been around for a while.
Well, I mean, in the horse business.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Got to watch that stuff.
She gets a little.
Thank God you've got somebody to advise you on these matters.
She's a little.
Yes, and I'm a volunteer.
She's a little sensitive about that, isn't she?
Well,
did you notice?
I don't blame her, actually.
That's right. Yeah. Michael's doing that because he's at my right arm. See, I could just reach out and just whack him a good one.
Well, anyway, well, Francis is coming in spite of all the guff people are giving me here. She'll be in at the top of the hour. Michael Blowen is here. Dr. Brian Walridge will soon be here pretty soon. He does a vet segment. And Steve Moody is going to give us the winner of the Florida Derby. And, you know, there's three sons of Flatter in that race.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good for
that. They could finish 1, 2, 3, too.
Well, you know, that's the first one for first horse that I'm having a senior moment. This is not a good morning. Let me just move right along. I'll come back to it anyway. And, of course, might do a little Joe Palmer. You didn't go to the Joe Palmer reading.
No, I didn't. I really, really wanted to go, and I really wanted to see it. And for some reason, that day was really, really busy. And by the time 6 o'clock, 5:30 hit, I said, man, I just don't have the energy. And it was
packed.
Good.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm glad they're doing the lecture series. And, you know, I know, I think Milt Toby's going to be part of that, talking about
Yes,
Newark,
he is.
And
yes.
I'll have to take a nap, so I make sure and get to that one.
Mary Jean Wall was writing about a prostitute. That ought to be fun.
She was there.
I saw her there.
We saw a lot of people.
I said, Mary Jean, what are you doing writing a book about a prostitute?
It wasn't just a prostitute. Or a very significant social figure in the social history of Lexington, Belle Breezing.
whatever you want to call her, she will have to. Well, moving right along.
Madam. Yeah. Madam.
Madam. Somebody, you had to go someplace to celebrate your winnings at Keeneland.
Yeah, but, oh.
Keeneland wasn't around then, I don't think.
No.
No, no, no.
Lexington track
no,
was for one.
No, Keeneland wasn't around at that time. The old Kentucky Association track was a horse. Was around.
Yeah.
All righty. Winners so far this month, they had 22 of them from the Thoroughbred Center. Good week, though. Since last week's show, Dale Loveland had a winner, Ron, I never do pronounce this guy's name right, Ruvalcaba. That's all right. I'd get his horse's name, and it's Tourist Trap. I didn't pronounce that. Okay. Scooter Hughes, Maria Pinzon, Tommy Short, Marco Castaneda, Alberta Davies, Tommy Short, Tom Bergen, Tommy Short, and Dale Loveland again. Tommy had three winners in a week. He was just here a minute ago. Is he standing up out there?
I don't know.
He's out there with Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Crow, our clocker here right now.
Clocker and storyteller.
Yeah, Chris is a lot of fun. So it was a pretty good week for people from the training center here. What else is going on? I don't know.
Well, today's a great day for racing. You got the Dubai World Cup.
I know. That's on Fox.
Yes, at 2:30, I think.
I think it's 12:30.
Fox Sports 1, do we get that?
I'm not sure.
You've got the note on it. The Dubai World Cup. California Chrome drew the outside, but it's just a 9-horse field. So that's not bad. Have you seen the field?
Yeah.
Okay. How far do they pay back?
9.
That's good.
And I think it's a free trip. I think
10. I would have taken my old mare.
When they invite you,
Lee is in there.
Yeah, it could be tough.
That's Claiborne's horse, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bill Mott trains that horse.
Yeah, Bill Mott trains. Mm-hmm. It's the first samurai.
12:30 to 1:30 Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports Go.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified that. I was going to miss it.
Okay.
I'll get over there a little earlier. Now I'm readjusting my social schedule now.
Oh, don't disappoint too many people. Oh, my God.
Hey, how you doing with your sport, with your brackets?
I didn't play it this year, thank goodness.
Oh, Ursel's got them all.
I should have. I've got all 8, the final 8.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, tight rod didn't put any money out,
there you
though.
Go.
I had...
got to play to win.
25 of the opening 32. I had 25 of the 32. I had 13 of the 16 and all 8...
I think you should talk to Steve Moody about putting out a tip sheet for the tournament then. With this kind of record, this kind of ROI would be huge. You'd be a millionaire now.
You know the old story about the blind hog. You're going to find an acorn.
Well, this is good.
Then.
This is a good one to do it with.
Yeah. All righty. Well,
I suppose you pick Kentucky on top.
Oh, you got to.
Oh, there you go.
Well,
yeah, I don't see any blue on. Oh, yeah, you do have a blue shirt on somewhere.
Well, hell, he's from Boston.
I care deeply about the cats.
Yeah. I know you.
Hey, we had a busload of people come yesterday, late in the day, unannounced. Well, kind of. They gave me a short notice for a tour.
Uh-huh.
Big red bus. Oh, they were all from West Virginia.
Oh, no.
Very sour people. Oh, very, very
funny.
Sour. That's
funny.
All I can say.
I was listening to
Matt.
Another show on another station. I won't name the station anyway, but the guy was listening to it, does some radio for... WLAP. Anyway, and for the network, actually. And he gets so nervous before the games that he just stayed in his hotel room and watched it by himself. And he said at halftime, he says, well, it's over. And he was right, you know, the West Virginia game. So he was walking back. It was about a 4-block walk from where his hotel room back to the arena. And all the West Virginia people were leaving at halftime.
Yeah. There were a lot of empty seats in the second half.
Who do you pull for?
Kentucky.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've been down here.
UK fan way back.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Basketball. For football season, I follow Keeneland.
There you go.
Follow Keeneland.
That's funny. For football, he follows Keeneland. That's funny.
Well, you probably got more winners. No, I tell you, because it's tough to handicap at Keeneland.
Well,
it broke me from handicapping a long time ago.
I love it. I can't wait for the meet. I've got a publication that a friend of mine named Jim Mazur puts out, a thing called Progressive Handicapping. It's a big sheet of stuff. And it's really fun to read to prepare you for the meet.
Oh.
1 year, I bought his Saratoga version of this, and this is many years ago. And you never know when you're reading these things what kind of information is going to be valuable or or not. And I read, I was having a terrible meet at Saratoga. I think I brought $1,500 to bet, and I was down to like $200. I mean, it wasn't even, and I wasn't even close. But in the last day, I noticed that it was a maiden going long on the grass, 12-horse field. And I remember that in this book it said, for some odd reason, sons and daughters of Roman diplomat did really, really well on the Saratoga turf course.
Roman diplomat.
He didn't produce much, but for some reason, I think the statistic was something like there were 8 starters, and 4 of them won first time out.
Really?
Yeah. And so I said, well, the way I'm going, I'll just do this. And the horse ended up going off at like 70-1, first time starter, won by 4 lengths. And it turned the entire meet around for me in like 2 seconds. It was unbelievable.
Ha!
So you never know when you're reading some of these. It's like with Steve, you know, doing the in-depth handicapping that he does. It's half the fun is reading all this stuff and finding it all out, and then you even find out, you know, some of the reasons why you lose.
Yeah. Jackie, have you ever heard a handicapper talking about really losing their money? They always come out of that. The end.
All right.
I never met a losing handicapper in my life.
There you go.
They all got winners.
Hey, I did qualify for the Tournament of Champions at Keeneland.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
What number did you come? First 10?
Third.
Third. Whoa.
Wow. Got what third place, got qualified for the Tournament of Champions, and got $450.
Yeah.
How'd that wait for Thanksgiving?
How did what?
That's a big tournament.
How did Doc Walridge do? Was he out there? Did he?
I'll let him speak for himself.
Oh, okay. Must be.
Now, is that the one Les Enstone qualified for?
Yeah. I think he qualifies for a lot of them. He's a good tournament player. He's a really good tournament player.
Yeah, he was at the thing at Keeneland.
Well, he has free access to all those figures. Oh, you know, he works for Bloodstock Research, you know, and they've got all those handicapping figures.
Wouldn't
it be
great if they had like 12 interns that he's working for his handicapping?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, he's been there long enough to have some interns.
I know.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
That's one of the things about going to that Friday night, the Friday night handicapping contest over there. It's so much fun because everybody's having a ball, win or lose.
Yeah.
I mean, the first week that I was there, that I think it was, there were like 125 or 130 contestants, and I think I finished like 112.
That would be me.
Yeah, 112.
Maybe would have been me.
Maybe tied.
Oh, funny.
Took me a while to figure it out, but I'm one of the world's worst handicappers. You know,
you got the basketball thing going big time, Ursula.
That's a first, too.
You got some hidden skills.
Yeah, you know, I used to win a lot gambling before I got married, and as soon as money started to mean something, you know, then I couldn't cash a ticket.
You picked the Derby winner last year.
Well, I didn't bet on it either. I had the Derby winner the last 2 years. They called me in down at the Rotary Club at Paris, you know. If they expect, they've already called me about this year again.
Oh, good.
If they expect me to pick three Derby winners in a row, they're crazy. You know?
No, this is good. I think this is going to be a good Derby, too. If all these horses come into it healthy, it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Well, Millie bred
Dortmund.
Dortmund.
Yeah.
Amelia Fullion, yeah. No, Millie.
It's kind of fun if you know somebody that well.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what makes it such a great
sport.
It's
kind of fun because, you know, usually you see the same big breeders, you know, and when somebody is not as, you know, prominent and stuff like Millie, it's
Ken Ramsey's Derby horse goes in the Arkansas Derby.
Yeah, I like Ken.
International star.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to come on the show when he comes back up here.
Great.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
No,
he loves old friends.
Funny.
He comes and drinks Sam Adams and I
got to talk to him about his trip to Barbados.
Oh,
yeah, no, he's going.
You won't have to do anything for
$200,000 race down there. He's won it with the same horse 2 years in a row.
I know.
A $20,000 claiming horse. He takes him over there, gets the money, goes back.
It's not just the money either. That's his favorite race to win of all time. You ask him, he'll give you the description of when the Prime Minister of Barbados is there, and they go to another party, and he gets to show the trophy off at the cricket matches. And, I mean, it's wild. He just says, I have to win that race. I think, and I might be mistaken about this, but you ask him, I think he sent 3 horses down there this year.
Is that right?
Not taking any chances.
No. He wants to win that race. He says, I want to win that race as much as I want to win the Derby. He says, this is so much fun.
When's that thing go?
What?
That Barbados?
He's already won it.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, he already won it.
Yeah.
He sent a jockey down there. I mean, I forget who rode the winner, but.
Was it Mike Maker? And he trained it?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a big write-up on it in the Thoroughbred Daily News. You know, big picture of him and a big green in the winner's circle.
Oh, yeah.
All this big crowd in the winner's circle. I think it took the whole family.
And more. He picks them up along the way. He told me that we're going to be able to auction off a day at the races with Ken Ramsey to benefit old friends.
That would be fantastic. Yep. That would be worth every
And he told me only one condition would he do it. I said, what's that, Ken? He goes, that I get to auction it off.
Oh.
He used to be an auctioneer, too.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. You got to hear him. Have him do a little auction thing here.
Okay.
He's really good at it.
How funny.
All right. Well, last Saturday, Gulfstream, the Grade 2 $200,000 Inside Information Stakes was won by Classic Point, a six-year-old mare by Flatter. Flatter, incidentally, has got three going today in the Florida Derby, including the favorite. Tough, game, and doable, Classic Point is a typical Flatter. The Inside Information was the third consecutive win. She closed out 2014 with wins in the Grade 3 Gopher 1 at Aqueduct and the Pumpkin Pie Stakes at Belmont. Bred by J.V. Shields Jr. and trained by Jimmy Jerkin, she has earned over $670,000. Flatter is also the sire of the leading three-year-old, Upstart, who finished first in both the Fountain of Youth and the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, and he's favorite today in the Florida Derby. Last year at two, he won the Funny Side Stakes at Saratoga, and he placed in the Grade 1 Champagne and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Bred by Mrs. Gerald Nielsen, and sold at Saratoga for $130,000. He's earned over $779,000. He's a leading candidate for the 2015 Classics. Flatter, currently ranked 8th on the 2015 sire list, and the son of AP Indy, he stands for $20,000, doing a full stanza nurses at Claymont Farm. At this year's two-year-old sales, 10 Flatter juveniles were offered, 9 sold, and averaged $231,444. So call Bernie Sams, number over at Claiborne, it's an 859 number, 233-4252. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company. That was going on 26 years ago, and they've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms, racing stables. It's Joe and Ted McLean, and Ted used to train. They also cover our home, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, and liability. Been right there whenever we needed them, as I say, 2 years ago when we got struck by lightning and they singed all the wires. They were in there fixing it that day. They're an independent insurance agency. They work for us, not the insurance companies. They're able to offer the best coverage and the most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Contact the Hopewell Company. They're prepared to provide you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. Hopewell Company, 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347. Or here's the Lexington number, 254-2431. You'll get great service. Ursel guarantees it.
Well, you two, too, don't you?
Why, sure.
Well, of course. All right. And we'll just clear that up. You know, they, of course, they're over in Bourbon County, and here's two more businesses in Bourbon County you should know something about. That's the Clay Ward Agency in Indian Creek. Now, the Clay Ward Agency is founded back in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward, and they have been providing the finest in equine insurance for over 40 years, over 80 years, my goodness, 80 years now. And they've been successful because the business was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, and those qualities are still carried on today. So whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the pros over at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best prices available. So here's who you call. Call Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs or John Hess with the Clay Ward Agency. And the number over there, it's an 859 number, 987-1861. 987-1861. Just remember the year that the Civil War started. I remember it well. All right, you can stop by the office.
You are there.
I started it. Or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. Now, ask about the services also available over at Indian Creek. It's a gorgeous farm. They raise many, many major stakes winners over there. It's both here and abroad, as a matter of fact. I don't know how many champions they've raised there, 5 or 6 champions around the world. And first saw the light of the day right there at Indian Creek. And they've been selling the world's top thoroughbreds for many years. It's a great place to board your horses. It's a great outfit to have them sell for you. So I suggest that you get in touch with them at Indian Creek. That'd be Shaq Parrish and Nikki Dryan. And the number there is another 859, number 987-7443. Two businesses to remember, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek in Paris, Kentucky. Brian Waldridge has joined the crowd here at the training center. The dust has settled and not many horses working here right now. Doc, you should have been here. How many will end up with, Chris?
I got about 43 right now.
About 43? Yeah, we're having getting a little busier around here right now. A lot of babies. You know. I guess you would know that, Doc.
They seem to all be coming. Lots of pictures, everybody with their foals.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, you're seeing them out in the fields now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure they all enjoyed that 20 degrees it went to last night.
Makes them tough. Got to toughen them up early.
Yeah. Now's the time to do your chain hairing. Are you doing any chain hairing? I talked to a doctor the other day, and he was doing it. Did you get it done?
7/8 done.
7/8?
I have some old fence in the way that has to get drug out of the way.
Here's a man over here to take care of your fences.
Mark Otto, Red Brand Fence.
Yeah.
I have some antique fence that I have to move.
I've got something kind of leaning a little bit here and leaning a little bit there. We're going to have to do something. Jackie and I went around and ourselves and replaced. How many planks have we must have put up about 25, 30 planks. You know, wow. It's easy to do if you got the right equipment.
If you have your wife lifting up the planks and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
No. Come on. I got an Easy Start steel chainsaw, and I have one of those $400 nail guns. It's a piece of cake. There.
Yeah, when I put up a fence, I used to work with a guy from South Dakota. It's one of my good buddies, and he said when he worked on the ranch, they called him Lightning when they put up fence. He said it's because he never struck in the same place twice. And I always think of him when I'm putting up fence because I have the same problem. I'll bend about 4 nails for each one I put in.
You really should invest in one of those.
Well, we know where to borrow one. Nail gun, the $400 nail gun.
You had to open your mouth, didn't you, Jackie?
Rent it for an hour from Jackie.
You would never pry. You know, you talk about taking guns away from people. You never get that nail gun away from Jackie, I'll tell you that. From a cold, dead hand, as they say.
I love that nail gun. You call me Nail Gun Annie.
Uh-oh. Speaking of nails, you know what she did to me? You know, I've got this.
Funny.
I got this.
I missed his neck.
I've got this bad hip.
Yeah.
And I can trim my left toenails, but not my right one. So I had the jacket.
Are you all paying attention out there to this?
I was wondering.
Well, listen. I don't know what she was doing, but she not only trimmed my toenails, she trimmed a toe right off the end. She just clipped a big hunk out of it. I tell you, I screamed. I've been limping around. You know, I mean, you ought to see the size of that toe down there. I got a bandage on it as big as a softball. she got even me with for a lot of things. I tell you what,
wow.
That hurt. It still hurts.
She use a car sander next time.
Of course, it kind of helped me a little bit. I got to sit in my easy chair for 3 days with my leg popped up.
There you go. You might as well milk it.
Yeah, I got a lot of basketball in, though. Oh, well, that's funny. Mm. I didn't think it was funny.
No, it's only funny that's like humor. Most of it's funny because it's happening to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a couple days old.
Yeah. Well, Doc, what's the – well, let me do a commercial, okay. Then we'll get you on. Well, we won't have to interrupt you. So you got all kinds of papers. So you're not going to read all of them, are you?
I prepare every week for this show. So I have some good stuff this week.
Dr. Byers used to come in, you know, with his little notepads and everything. And he was ready to go.
His 8x10 cards, yep.
Yeah.
Those scribbles that only he could read.
Well, that's kind of goes with the degree, doesn't it?
I guess so.
Doctors and veterinarians.
Yeah, you know, I guess so.
I've never seen a prescription yet that I could make heads or tails out of.
That's why they write them that way.
That's probably right. Well, Close Hatchet. Let's try that again. Close Hatchet. Classic winner at 3. Eclipse Award winner at 4. Earn of over $2,700,000. Group Stakes winner Don Donnell. 2014 Stakes winner Privet Heads. 2014 Stakes winner Pistols Drawn. 2014 Juvenile Stakes winner Irish Jasper. Tom Belaine, another 2014 juvenile that ran second in group stakes in both Great Britain and Ireland last year. Black Type Earners, New Line, Kazuri, Beach Hut, Smoking in the Boys Room. All My First Defense, and all good reasons why he has received the strong backing of Judmont Farm and of outside breeders. There are bigger and better crops of foals by First Defense on the way. Grade 1 winner First Defense is by Unbridled Song, out of Grade 1 winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. Honest Lady is a half-sister to Empire Maker. And First Defense stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Also at Judmont, the Grade 1 winner, Mizzen Mast, sire of 7 Grade 1 winners, sire of a Classic winner, sire of the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races, a son of a champion sire, Cozine, and a great outcross to almost all North American mares. Mizzen Mast, $20,000 live foal. Inquiries to Gerardo Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629 and see the website at judmontfarm.com. Jackie? You want to do this for our good friends over at Sally?
Sure. Sally Van Service has been in business for some 60 years. During that time, many of the greatest runners to ever step on a racetrack have been entrusted with their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top shape. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're very proud of their drivers at Sally Van. They're experienced drivers and they're experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse onto a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. Sally Van, they wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why, for more than a half a century, Sally Van have been the safest way to the winner's circle. Let me give you their phone number. And they work on diesel trucks, because they have them, and they also work on your own rig, your trailer, or whatever. They did ours, and they do a good job. It's 255-9640. Website is sallyhorsevans.com.
Well, 2-year-olds by Bellamy. Whoops, I need a microphone, don't I? give me my microphone back.
Okay. Look at, he's got his Coke in one hand. He's got the thing in the other hand. He's got the
catch
on. He's all set.
And talking into nothing. But that's about
just
what.
Like home.
He's just like home, Jack.
Well, 2-year-olds by Bellamy Road sold for $800,415,000 last week at the OBS March sale. In fact, so far this year, his sales 2-year-olds have averaged $325,000. Bellamy Road stands for a fee of $10,000, and you don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. Already a proven grade 1 sire, Bellamy Road's biggest and best crops are 3-year-olds and 2-year-olds this year. He has already sired 2 3-year-old fillies to win stakes in 2015, both of them at Santa Anita. With more top prospects on the way, so you had better book now. Keep in mind that Bellamy Road has sired such superior stakes winners as Grade 1 winner Toby's Corner. He earned over $928,000. 7 award winner Sisterly Love. Graded stakes winner Position Limit. Graded stakes winner All Squared Away. Graded stakes winner Victoria's Wildcat. Graded stakes winner George's Angel. And the list just keeps going. 2 stakes winners at Santa Anita already this year. Grade 1 winner Bellamy Road stands at Windstar Farm. The fee again, $10,000. Doing a foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Kyle Wilson, or Sean Tugel. 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, I've got Dr. Brian Walridge with us, and he's going to talk to us about something. He's got a big stack of papers over there. I was supposed to ask you how you did at the gambling out at Keeneland the other day. I mean, you were in the contest.
Oh, I was too sick to go one time, and then
Oh.
I could go and I had some kind of crud.
I'm usually sick after I gamble. Not before.
Well, there you have a limit. You're only going to lose your entry fee. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
$35 and all the food you can eat.
Well, next time I'm over there, I'll just throw $35 on the ground. I won't have to bother to go back.
You can eat, though. It's a good thing. Eating's good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The buffet is really good.
Well, what are we looking at today? What do you got on your mind?
My topic today is some weird veterinary news. So I saw two articles.
I've known a lot of weird veterinarians, so go ahead.
Yeah, me too.
It's not news to any of us.
But there was a couple things. One of them came out of UK that I saw this week. And the roundworm that we thought was the most common roundworm, which is the scientific name is Parascaris aquarum.
I knew actually, that, yes.
Well, I knew you did. So I just want to tell you so we could distinguish the two. And actually they found out looking that it's a different species. And they looked here in Kentucky, looked at on the research farm at UK, and then also went out to some farms and looked and found that the most common one's actually another species called Parascaris. I've already forgotten its name. Anyway, it's a different species. And so I left that paper in my truck. So the one we thought we were dealing with is actually a different one. And so they're indistinguishable to look at them. And as far as we know, biologically, they're the same. But when the worm goes to reproduce, one has more chromosomes than the other. So I thought that was really interesting. That worm was discovered, I guess, 130 years ago. Or wow. Univalens, Parascaris univalens is the new one. And so I don't even I've forgotten a lot from school, and but I don't remember even being taught about that worm.
Did it mutate off the old one?
Well, if it did, it had to go back over 100 years ago. That apparently it was discovered and then just kind of forgot about. And then I guess from reading some background on it, the roundworms, horse roundworms are used a lot in chromosome research and all. So they started looking at these worms and found the one they were using was different than the one they thought. So,
Do you use the same dewormers?
As far as we know, and it made me think that roundworms have changed from when I went to school. We were told, you won't really see a roundworm in a horse over 3 years of age because roundworms go through a tissue migration stage. They'll migrate through the gut into the liver, into the lung, then the horse coughs them up, and then they come back to the gut and complete their life cycle. So they get some immunity to those worms as they migrate. But as you've kind of been out of school and you'd start seeing roundworms and colics when you pass the tube, you even have roundworms in the fluid. And so you start seeing them in older horses, and now it's pretty common to see. So roundworms have changed over the years, which makes you wonder if maybe this new species had something to do with it, or if they're just some people think that roundworms are getting more resistant to dewormers like ivermectin, that maybe that has changed the roundworms where you're more likely to see them in older horses. So to me, it was interesting. May not be interesting to anybody else, but I thought it was, we took a parasite and replaced it with an exact duplicate, but it's a new worm. So I thought that was interesting. Plus, it came out of the University of Kentucky, so I thought it was good to talk about.
Yeah. Might interest the worms.
Yeah, they're probably really interested in it, especially as we get warmer dewormers.
Yeah. Okay. What other brand new?
Well, this gets even weirder. There's a study out of France and that I saw and I just thought was really interesting called Mares Prefer the Voices of Highly Fertile Stallions. So here's the article so I could prove it. I knew you were probably telling me I made this up.
Well, the French would know.
The French would know. They do know. So it was actually pretty interesting. What they did was they took different stallions and they recorded their voices. They walked a mare by the stallion. They'd record his voice. So then they put mares in this kind of a room that they built. And on one side of the room, they had what they called a deep voice stallion. And then the other, they had a higher pitched stallion's voice. So they played them through a speaker.
And they put the mare. And they preferred the higher pitch.
The deeper voice stallions.
Oh,
your voice. If you were a stallion, they would, they would play that.
Didn't forget about that.
So.
All the mares around here don't get a choice anyway.
Well, if they did, according to this paper. So they put them in this room. And so on one side, they had a speaker to play the higher pitched stallion's voice. And on the other, they had the deeper voice stallion. They put them right in the middle where they weren't facing either way, and the mares would go over to the side where the deeper voice stallions' whinnies and all were. And so they showed that these mares preferred to go over there to those deeper voice stallions. and the bigger mares preferred the deeper voice stallions. Great.
Now, who in the world would thought of doing a study like that?
And it gets better.
Okay. All right.
The stallions that had the deeper voices, when they went back and looked at their fertility was higher, and their heart rates were lower. So, you know, mares, and they show, they list a lot of other different animals, including humans, that that are, that prefer deeper voiced males because it's supposed to mean a bigger, stronger male.
So much for Pee Wee Herman.
That's right. So, so if you had, you know, like Barry White and Pee Wee Herman, you know, the mares would prefer the Barry White stallion. Yeah. So it's,
I wonder how Luciano Pavarotti got all those girlfriends.
So I thought that was really interesting that, you know, the deeper voice stallions are more fertile, lower heart rates, and preferred by mares.
Well, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with a woman to be interested in Pee Wee Herman anyway.
He's a good dancer.
You know, the younger generation doesn't know who we're talking about, probably.
Pee Wee's got a new movie coming out, I think, a stage show or something.
I didn't know he was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the guy that used to sing Tiptoe to the Tulips?
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim. Tiny did die, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tiny died.
Yeah, he tripped over a tulip, I guess.
His name was Larry something. I can't remember his real name. Larry something.
I want to add, I know what. I saw on television, West Nile mosquitoes in California. Did you see that?
I hadn't seen it, but you know, it's the right time of year that the mosquitoes are going to start waking up.
But they said they had never had them in this area, that area. Yeah. And they did, and they showed them scraping them into, you know, a puddle or something. But anyway, I didn't. They said there's no cure if they bite a human. But we vaccinate, right?
Right.
Wouldn't humans sooner or later be vaccinated against West Nile if it's going to be that bad?
Yeah, there hasn't. As far as I know, there's no human vaccine. But, you know, you can get, like a lot of people have West Nile antibodies that never get sick.
Is that right?
And in humans, you can get bit by a mosquito that's infected with West Nile, and you might just get a bad headache and a fever for a day or two, and that'll be it. So most people.
Are you built up against getting bit again, or does it get worse when you get bit again?
At least going from what's happened in horses, there kind of becomes a population immunity as you get exposed to it by mosquito bites. And that's part of the vaccine works really well, but part of the reason we're seeing a little less disease here than when it first came is horses are getting some of their own natural exposure to it as well. So,
and
immunity does seem to be very long lasting. So, it's an interesting disease. It's out there, and so we're probably getting exposed a bit more than we think, and maybe horses a bit more, but definitely want to vaccinate because that it's a very effective vaccine, one of the most effective ones we have.
Huh. All right. Oh, one more thing, and you said you had seen the article too. I think it was KTA or somebody put out a bulletin about the worms.
Tent caterpillars.
Yeah, tent caterpillars are. But we haven't. I haven't seen any in our place.
I haven't either. And usually, I have a cherry tree, and usually they're in there. I haven't seen them.
I haven't seen them yet either. We got rid of all of them in the front. We have a couple in the back that are huge that are right over the fence for our neighbors, and we can't really cut those down. I just go back and spray as best I can. So
yeah, we need to be watching for them and trying to keep the mares away as best we can from those.
Yeah. All right, Doc. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Dr. Well, Brian Walridge.
We're going to take off. We're going to go get some tours today. We had a lot of tours yesterday and getting a lot of people coming by, so we're going to go back to the farm, see everybody.
Hopefully you'll have a bunch of really sad, down-in-the-mouth Notre Dame people.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
That would be really nice for more than one reason. My best friend John went to Notre Dame. But anyway, we have a lot of activities coming up. Of course, we got Red Brand's going to sponsor a get-together over here at the training center at the special simulcast for old friends on Derby Day. So if you want to come out here and bet the Derby, you can come go over there and get something to eat. And they're going to have a whole bunch of tellers over there. It's going to be really nice.
Well, let Mark sit down and talk
right,
about
Mark.
It a little bit.
Mark, let me sit down and talk.
Let me take a little break.
I can take
here.
A hint.
Yeah, well, I'm glad.
That's a real good hint. Very sound.
Well, runners, and I do mean runners, by the Shadwell Stallions ran 1-2 in this year's renewal of the Correction Stakes at Aqueduct. The winner by Scant Head was the 4-year-old filly Mamduha. She's by De Hare. Over the tough mare Expression, a daughter of Invisor. Mamduha has won 5 of her 6 starts, her last 5 in a row. The correction was her third straight stakes win. She's also won the Gin Talking Stakes at Laurel and the Ruthless Stakes at Aqueduct, and she's earned right at $300,000. Expression, in her last start of 2014, won the $100,000 Garland of Roses Stakes at Aqueduct, and she has placed in three stakes already this year. The correction, the $100,000 Innerbar at Aqueduct, then the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie at Laurel. As game as they come, Expression has earned over $424,000. Grade 1 winner De Hair by the top sire Awesome Again has sired 18% black type runners from foals. Hall of Famer Invisor is, like De Hair, a proven sire of graded stakes winners. They stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585. See the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Quilling, Leather, and Tack, our favorite tack shop in Paris, Kentucky. They got all kind of leather goods, and Wayne is the leather guy down there. He is just wonderful. He spent his whole life doing it. He can make anything, and I know, of course, it's foaling season, and he is running a special on foal halters. So you can get the figure eight or the regular shaped ones and all that kind of stuff. They've got stallion halters and shanks and twitches and whatever you need to get you through foaling season. Oh, mare neck straps and stuff like that. And then regularly they have pet leads and leashes. They have rolled collars and that kind of stuff. And all you little pony club girls, they have pink leather and blue leather if you want to go that way. And, of course, they have key tags and all that kind of stuff. Now, if you want to go, Ralph Quillen also has Rooster Brew, his all beer, 100 bottles of beer on the wall place in downtown Paris. It's easy to find. They have stuff a lot on Thursday and Friday, but I'm not so sure what they do on Saturday because I can never find out. It's open. Aren't they open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
I think they open at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mark's sitting over there nodding like he knows what we're going to find.
Yeah. So all you people that are interested
fun
in that.
Fun place to go. You go there, you always see somebody you know, and then you're doing the kind of beer you want. They gave me some kind of beer down there. I said, I want a real dark beer. And they gave it to me in a, what do you call it, Jackie? A
big old bowl.
A tumbler.
Yeah. Big old bowl.
A tumbler. And I don't know what the alcohol content that thing was, but I tell you what. I had a hard time getting on that stool that you sit on down there.
Well, as long as you get on it and don't have too much trouble getting off.
Well, I had to sit there for a while.
Okay. All right. That's Quillin.com, Quillin.com. They've got an 800 number, 800-729-0596.
Well, Majestic Warrior in his first two crops aside, this is his first two crops now. It's our 22 stakes horses, 10 stakes winners, 5 graded stakes winners. Among them, the brilliant classic-winning filly, Princess of Silmar. And two winners of more than $2 million each. That's a great start. And the beat continues. He's the sire of the 2015 stakes winner, Lady Sibelia, winner of the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie. The grade, he's the sire this year of Grade 1 Place, Best Warrior, and Grade 2 Place, Zozo. Lady Sibelia, in addition to taking the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie at Laurel, has won the $100,000 Water Summer Stakes this year. She's won 5 stakes, and she's earned over $518,000, a proven Grade 1 sire. Princess of Silmar won 4 Grade 1 stakes, the Kentucky Oaks, the Alabama, the Beldame, the CCA Oaks. Majestic Warrior is a Grade 1 winner by AP Indy, out of Grade 1 winner and millionaire Dream Otto by Seeking the Gold, and he stands at Ashford Stud. Give them a call at 859-873-7088 and ask about breeding incentives. Keep in mind that the 2-year-olds by Majestic Warrior have sold for an average of $256,667 this year, and check the website at coolmore.com. All righty. There comes the music. Hey, Marianne, you must have been out late last night.
Mary Jane.
She must have been out partying last night. Mark Otto, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing real good. What was I going to ask you that you knew? Quillin's.
I believe they're open in the afternoon because Michael and I have been up there in the afternoon and picked up a couple growlers to take back to the farm. and I think they're open at noon or 1, somewhere in there.
Oh, I don't think so.
Because we were in there after we left the show one weekend. And
well, you might have called Ralph in there.
Might have called somebody, but yeah. They're open a little bit earlier than 5, I believe.
Okay. No, there used to be 5. It's been several weeks since I've been down there.
If you knock on the door, I think they'll sell you something.
Yeah, well, I'll do that. Well, you're going to have your shindig over here at the training center?
Yep, we're doing Mark? This is the third year we're doing it. We're going to just wanted to give everybody a save the date because we're going to do the Derby Bash again this year on Derby Day. All day long, we'll have a hot buffet. You're going to have 10 windows this year.
Well, tell them who he is now.
So it's the Thoroughbred Center, Red Brand Fence, and Old Friends.
Uh-huh.
So the proceeds for the silent auction and anything that we raise that day will go to Old Friends. Red Brand Fence is sponsoring the event, and the Thoroughbred Center is gracious enough to host us again.
Well, that's great. Yeah. It's been very successful.
Yeah, it's been. We have actually doubled our attendance every year.
Is that right?
Yep. So it actually doubled every year since it started. Uh-huh. So we're really excited about this year. And that was one of the reasons Keeneland agreed to give us more windows.
Oh.
So we're actually going to have more clerks this year than we've ever had. So there'll be hopefully no line wagering.
Oh, wow.
That's... So we're really pushing to try and get people through quicker.
Yeah, I know that you had a first year a little bit more than you expected, you know, and had some problems with the lines at the betting windows.
Yes, sir, especially in the afternoon. And that's why we went back. We took our attendance numbers, went back, talked to the folks at Keeneland, and they were gracious enough to help us out by giving us more clerks.
And good for Keeneland.
So we're going to – it should be a really nice party this year. We're actually going to also give people some packages where they could bring their derby party to the Thoroughbred Center and have a room of their own for their friends and their family.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some packages. There'll be more about that coming up in the coming weeks. But we just wanted to let everybody know we are going to do it again this year, and we're excited about it and want to get it on everybody's calendar.
Okay, that's for the derby.
That's Derby Day.
Derby Day.
Yep. All day long.
Yeah. Well, you could do it 2 days, you know, for the Oaks.
The Oaks. We've talked about it. Maybe next year we'll think about doing it. This year we're far enough down the road, I think we're going to have to stick with the Derby. But we should do something for the Oaks. I mean, it is gives folks – we really want to give the folks that work on the farms especially a place that they can go grab lunch, get back, because we know it's breeding season. Right. We know it's hard for folks to get away. And this is something that, you know, lets people come, hang out for a while, place their bets, grab lunch, and get right back to the barn.
There you go.
That's nice.
Very good. How about vets? You let them in?
Brian, no. We'll let anybody in.
Derby Day used to be the hardest day to work.
Hardest day to work.
It was just because everybody's gone to the Derby. You know, everybody's going crazy.
Okay. And nobody holding a mare for you to palp or something.
No, it was it was like the mountain. If you could get to Derby Day, you were going to make it.
Yeah.
And I got kicked really bad on a Derby Day.
Oh.
And went to the – had to go to the emergency room, actually. Oh, and I was on call. Everybody else was gone to the Derby. But Dr. Morrissey was helping me, and so I had to – call my wife to come get me, and I had to lay across the back seat to get to the hospital. And I went there, and then because everybody was gone, I finished out the weekend on crutches.
Shitty.
And that was the Derby that 8 Bells broke down, because I remember I made it back from the hospital.
Yeah.
Went back to the other hospital, the Equine Hospital, in time to watch the Derby, and that was just a terrible thing. And,
yeah.
And wow. Then, finished out on crutches and then went back to Dr. Monday.
Yeah. That racing really messes you up in the spring. My doctor, Dr. Murray West, my personal family doctor, I can't get sick during April. He's at Keeneland every day.
Well, you know where to find him anyway.
Well, yeah, but you better not bother him. He's a great guy, good horseman. Yeah. He's a photographer.
Yeah.
And a really, really great photographer, too. Yeah. In fact, they've given him credentials out there.
Yeah.
You know, you see him in the paddock with his camera, you know, and obviously he's like, Doc, how about a prescription for something, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's
I know where to find him.
Yeah, he may just
I can catch him in the paddock at Keeneland.
You just fill it out and get him to sign it.
Yeah, right. That won't be good. Well, Mark, that's great. And appreciate you all doing that for the
people
around here.
We're excited about it. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun, and it seems to grow every year. The people enjoy it. It's a good location because we're, you know, gives folks on the north side around the farms a place to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're excited about it. We got Keeneland's support this year, so we think it's going to be a really good event.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you having us.
Go sell some fence.
Absolutely. We're going to be headed out to old friends.
All right. All right. Well, let me give you the reasons why you should seriously consider breeding the R.H.R. Charge, Patio Prado, Tisway, or Wilburn. First of all, they stand at Spendthrift Farm, and if past performance means anything, that's a good thing. Consider how the first foals by Inner Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, and Warrior's Reward hit the track running. Line of David has two first crop three-year-olds on the Derby Trail in Firing Line, winner of the Grade 3 $800,000 Sunland Derby. He won by 14 and a some odd lengths, and second by a head to Dortmund in two stakes out in California. Also, California Derby went across the line, being pointed for the Santa Anita Derby. Temple City has four stakes winners in his first crop, among them a graded stakes winner and the winner of the Pasadena Stakes last Saturday at Santa Anita. Warriors Reward side 6 2-year-olds to win a place in stakes in his first crop. And, of course, Into Mischief is one of the hottest young sires in North America. Arch won grade one stakes in his first crop. 2 year-olds have sold for up to $120,000. Patio Prada won grade one stakes, placed in the Kentucky Derby, and he won over $1,721,000. He's by the sire of sires El Prado. Tisway earned over $1,359,000, won grade one stakes, ran a mile in 1:32.4 on the dirt. His first crop, 2 year-olds, is sold up for up to $320,000. Wilburn won graded stakes, and he's by the superior sire, Bernardini. So call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker, 859-294-0030. Go take a look at the Spendthrift stallions. Always ask about breeding incentives at Spendthrift Farm and see the website, spendthriftfarm.com. I want to talk about a couple of products called Lubricin and Reborn. Two products that were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, one of the top track doctors in the country, and two products that are both endorsed by many owners and trainers and veterinarians from around the country. I know people like Charlie Lepreski ran Wise Dan on it. It's been a whole bunch of top flight horses that run on those products. Daredevil, of course, winning Champagne Stakes. The Stop Charging Maria and Fashion Alex. The list just goes on and on and on. And it's Alabama Stop Charging Maria. I said that, didn't I? Well, anyway, Todd Pletcher uses it regularly. That's enough to great endorsement right there. Also, Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker. Both those products, incidentally, are test-free. You don't have to worry about the spit box. And the Lubricin is... put it simply, it sustains the integrity of the joint fluid, and it can, you know, help reduce the cost for injections, acid ingestions, and those kind of things. Reborn, and this is important because it's 100% sterile, whole concentrated, natural bovine colostrum. And you know there's always a shortage of colostrum, safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, especially with foals. Yes, of course, this is foaling season. And it strengthens the foal's immune system while they're nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. So those are two products that are just great, Reborn and Lubricin. Lubricin, the website is lubricin.com and Reborn, reborne.com. You can pick them up at KBC in Lexington or at Horse Sense down in Versailles. They also make the... Lubricin for humans, too. I use it, and you can pick that up over at Old Friends. So that's two products that I do recommend. Well, a two-year-old Cobra Broken Vow sold for a session high $950,000 at the recent OBS March sale at last year's two-year-old auction. From 14 auctions, 12 sold for an average of $115,333. The high last year was $375,000. The demand is strong, because horsemen are well aware that Broken Vow sires runners year after year. He was a sire of 28 stakes horses last year, 19 the year before that, 28 the year before that. You can keep on going back. He sired more than 125 stakes horses, 64 stakes winners, 4 champions, and counting. Broken Vow, Unbridled's leading son and stud in the USA, stands for $25,000 at Pin Oak Stud. Also standing at Pin Oak Stud are the multiple greatest stakes winners and millionaires, Alternation and Cowboy Cal. Alternation is by the champion sire Distorted Humor, and it's noteworthy that he descends from the same female family as Broken Vow. He stands for $7,500, and his first foals are arriving this year. Cowboy Cal by Giants Causeway and saw the greatest stakes win in his first crop. He stands for $5,000. Now, those stud fees are payable when the foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Barrett, Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty. Let's see what I can do here real quick. Okay. How about Kentucky Breeders of Stakes winners from last week? And I should say the grade three, $800,000. That's a big pot for the Sunland Derby. Firing Line won that. He's from the first crop by Lina David, who stands over at Spindrift Farm. He won by 14 and a quarter lengths. How about that's the way to win them, isn't it? Yeah,
no contest. It was just, that's like the Cats the other night playing West Virginia.
Oh, my Lord, wasn't that embarrassing for West Virginia?
Say, not for us.
Yeah. They had to mouth off, didn't they? What did they say? What was it Lee said after the game? They shouldn't have rattled a cage.
No, I think I'd be quiet this week.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Firing Line by Line of David won that race by, he's going to the Derby, of course, by 14 and a quarter lengths. And, He said new track record that day. He was bred by Clear Sky Farms. The grade three Cincinnati Spiral Stakes down at, what had that Cincinnati on that? Horseman Casino Cincinnati Spiral Stakes. That's why they named it on there. Dubai Sky won it. That's down at Turfway. He was a pretty easy win, too. Won by 2 1/4 lengths. He's by Candy Ride. What a nice stud he's been. Bred by Bezalew Stables. The grade three Bourbonette Oaks, also a Turfway, Don't Leave Me by Lemon Drop Kid, bred and owned by Pin Oak Stud. They've got a couple of nice three-year-old fillies that this year. Let's see here. The $200,000 Sunland Oaks callback finished first, but they was disqualified, and they gave it to Maybelline, and Maybelline is from the first crop by Looking at Lucky, bred by Colt Neck Stables. The Pasadena Stakes at Santa Anita. Went to Papa Cool. That's a three-year-old from the first crop by Temple City, who stands at Spendthrift Farm, bred by Chesapeake Farm and Gianca Stables. The $100,000 Gazebo Stakes at Oaklawn Park, Subtle Indian. That's an Indian Charlie. Well, what a nice stud. He was gone, of course. Mercedes Stables, the breeder. $100,000 Caesar's Wish Stakes went to By the Moon. By the Moon, another Indian Charlie. Bred by Samantha Siegel. The Karakoram Electra Stakes at Aqueduct went to Before You Know It. That's a mare, 5 years old, by Hardspun. Bred by Hertridge McCarthy Livestock. Fred W. Hertridge III and John Fielding. The Videogenic Stakes at Aqueduct went to Room for Me. Room for Me, bred by Stonebriar Stables, and that's a 5-year-old mare by Harlington. The Mr. Sinatra Stakes at Aqueduct went to Storming Monarco, 5-year-old Gully by Monarco, bred by John Oxley. The Sis City Stakes at Aqueduct went to Pebble Beach Baby, bred by Jill Herensberger, and she is by Rock Hard 10. Let's see, the Extra Heat Stakes, she is nominated for the Hall of Fame, incidentally, this year. I hope she gets it. She's bred by Pope McLean and family over there. My Savannah Bell won that. She's by Fleet Alex, bred by Mike Feeney. The Peeping Tom Stakes winner was Pequot. That's an Arch. A 7-year-old gilding by Arch, bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder. Those arches last forever, don't they? The Stud Muffin Stakes at Aqueduct with Today's Ride, a strong contender, bred by Richard Forbush. Let's see, what else do we have here? The Keza Electronica Stakes, downtown again, by Rockport Harbor, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. The More to Tell Stakes went to Tismas, by Tisnow, bred by Locklow Farm. The Tondi Stakes at Fauna Park went to Bell Battle Harden. It's a 6-year-old gilding by Giant's Causeway, bred by Lakeside Farm. And let's see here, the Tamarack Stakes, yes, Thursday at Gulfstream Park, competitive edge by Super Saver, stands over Windstar Farm, and he was bred by Windstar Farm. Well, let's see. Where are we here?
Huh?
Well, two of the top three-year-old colts sold at Barrett's two-year-old sale were Mamacho Uno. One sold for $310,000, the other for $260,000. Horsemen are well aware. Well aware that Macho Uno sires runners that compete at the highest level. His Macho Mucho Macho Man won the Grade One Breeders' Cup Classic, the Grade One Awesome Again, and over $5,625,000. Private Zone won the Grade One Vosburgh twice and more than $1 million. Others by Macho Uno. One such premier events is the Grade One Stephen Foster, the Grade One Breeders' Futurity, and such graded stakes as the Jim Dandy, the Arlington Washington Futurity, the Hollywood Oaks, the Withers, the New Orleans Handicap, the West Virginia Derby, the Valley View, and that list just keeps on going. He has sired five Grade One winners. He has sired graded stakes winners at distances from 6 to 10 furlongs, and they win on every conceivable type of racing surface. Mucho Macho Man, now Macho Uno's stablemate at Adena Springs, came within a photo finish of winning the Breeders' Cup Classic 2 years in a row. Macho Uno, winner of the Eclipse Award as champion two-year-old colt, is siring stakes winners at Adena Springs, Kentucky. Call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers. Here's their number, 859-987-1798, and see the website at AdenaStallions.com.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, LM Communications Broadcasting Station, LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
A proud citizen is a proven sire of classic winners with a great upside. His current crop of two-year-olds are the result of 143 mares that he covered, with more to come. He covered 118 the next year. Remember, Proud Citizen has already sired four champions, two winners of the Kentucky Oaks, 14% stakes horses, and earners of more than $32 million. With bigger and better crops on the way, the sky's the limit. Proud Citizen is by Gone West, and he stands for $10,000 live foal. Another young stallion with a bright future is Haynesfield, a Grade One winner of over $1,309,000 by the superior sire, Spritestown. Haynesfield is siring superb individuals, and he's been labeled by Market Watch as a likely prospect to claim the title of leading freshman sire of 2015. Horsemen apparently agree because his first crop two-year-olds are sold for an average of $177,333. Haynesfield stands for $10,000 live foal, and both he and Proud Citizen stand in Mr. and Mrs. Barrett and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, well, we're starting the second hour of this mess. And here to help me continue is Francis Relihan. Francis, I've known for a number of years now, and Francis is get a little closer to that mic. Just pull it closer to
you. We are looking at baby pictures. Look here. Look at that. Is that a Tappet?
It's a Tappet filly.
That's a Tappet.
Oh, a Tappet filly?
Look at that face.
Oh, my goodness.
Good morning, Ursula. How are you?
Oh, good. Fine. Good.
Fine. We're just looking at baby pictures.
that's great. Francis, of course, is with Vinery. Now, Vinery, the name Vinery goes back a way. I think Ben Walden Jr. started Vinery on land at East Farm. Used to be, it's close to Midway, used to be part of his father's land.
Dearborn Farm, that's right.
Dearborn.
That's
the name, yeah.
Yeah. And the farm actually sold, Vinery sold back in 2003. And now it's under new ownership from a Chilean group, and it's called Haras Don Alberto, or Don Alberto Farm, as we're calling it in Kentucky.
Don Alberto Farm.
Don Alberto Farm, that's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you've got to get it in your name also in the farm manager's new book, you know, that's coming out, because I looked it up in there and I couldn't find it, you know.
I've been connected to the property for quite a while right now. I was just looking back and it'll be my 10th year on the farm. So
wow.
For Dr. Simon, he bought the farm back in 99 from, obviously the name was prior to that was owned by the Waldens, and he bought the farm in 99 and then sold it in 2013. So and then the present owners, obviously the group from Chile, bought it, and I was very, very lucky to be able to interview and to be able to retain my position at the farm.
Yeah, because you were there with Mr. Salmon for quite a while, as you said, you know.
I was, yeah. I started there at the end of 2005, so I've been there since. since then, yes.
Now, that land, I believe, is part of the old Pike family's land, I believe, isn't it? Isn't that right?
It was prior to, actually, Hillendale, the property that's now Don Alberto, Warhorse, and one or two other small properties were all part of the Groves Farm back in the 70s and 80s, Northridge Farm.
Northridge, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
But I think it goes way back.
Then you're going way back, exactly. Yeah. Yes,
absolutely. He does. That's watching. Right. He'll go way back on you.
Way, way, way back.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that the land that is right next door to Pope McLean's farm.
It is, of course. That's right.
And
yes.
Crestwood.
Yes.
That's part of Tom Pyatt's place. That,
right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Before that, it was the Indians.
I was going to say, Ursula, what was it before that?
I guess the Cherokees. I don't know. But anyway, so it's a historic piece of land. Now, that house, do you know when the main house on there was?
It was around the turn of the century. Yeah.
Which century?
it's not as old as you would think, but there is what we've been referring to. We've used as a guest house there for many years. That house is actually a little older, but the main house on Spur Road, that's just about the turn of the century, last century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I thought. Yeah, and it is.
But there's another one that's even older.
There is.
The one that Pope lives in, probably, Pope McLean lives in, probably older.
Yeah, that's right next door. Yeah, I'd say that is probably older, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I want to know a little bit about these people. That's the reason I called you in, Francis.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
he did not. He loves blondes.
Well, that too.
I called you in. Come on.
Very good, very good. Gosh, I'm getting a swelled head this morning. These are really well-established breeders in Chile, and they've been breeding down there for almost, I would say, about 40 years or so.
Uh-huh.
They've got quite a nice broodmare band, and Miss Liliana Solari is the mother of the principal, who is Carlos Heller, who purchased the farm. They had been shuttling horses from stallions from Europe for many years, so just on a quest really to improve the breed in Chile. And they're very involved in racing down there, of course, as well. But it's very isolated, obviously, and they wanted to you know, really kind of burst onto the global scene of racing. And they have a great knowledge and understanding of pedigrees. They love turf racing. They've followed racing for years in Europe and North America. So when they purchased the property, they went to the Keeneland November sale in 2013, and they really bought some high-end mares. So they really want to go about this the right way. So we're very excited.
Did they bring any of their livestock up from Chile?
They did. They have a couple of mares actually on route to us right now, some of their best runners, but they did have a couple of mares that they had in Kentucky prior to purchasing the farm that we attained at the farm as well. So
yeah. Well, how big a broodmare brand do they have now?
Right now we're at 76 mares.
God, so, Gertrude.
I know. She's got 30. How many foals already?
We have 35 foals on the ground. Yeah. So Northern Hemisphere. And I started back with them last year for the breeding season, and we started foaling Northern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And then we foaled our last Northern Hemisphere mares the beginning of May. By the beginning of May. And then we had a little bit of a break, and we started foaling Southern Hemisphere mares in mid-July, and we foaled them through the end of October.
Okay, now those are Southern Hemisphere, the mares that they brought up here.
Correct.
Now they'll go back.
Some of the mares will remain here in Kentucky because a lot of the stallion farms now are breeding a lot of their good quality stallions on Southern Hemisphere time. So you can have your mares here and breed them to some good Kentucky stallions during the Southern Hemisphere breeding season, but they can remain here in the Northern Hemisphere.
So
how old are the foals when you send them back? When they're weaned, do you send them to the Southern Hemisphere?
We can send them back. We're just in the process right now. We'll be sending back a couple here in the next 30 days. So,
how old are they?
They are approximately 6-7 months old.
Yeah.
See, this is like daylight savings time. I'm very confused.
you know, it does add a different aspect to things because right now, 95% of farms in central Kentucky are focusing on the breeding season. The new foal is arriving. You start paying attention towards your yearlings as to where you're going with them. But we have another component where we're also thinking we're weaning, we've got weanlings that we're managing. And then also in the back of our head, we're checking mares because the breeding season is approaching for them in the summertime. Yeah. So it adds another dimension to things, but it keeps it interesting.
I bet.
What it does is add a whole hell of a lot to the workload.
I'm telling you, and if you make a mistake, that's a doozy.
Did most of the mares that they bought up here then? And is this the first crop?
Yeah.
Arriving now out of the mares that they bought here?
We have first crop yearlings out of the mares that they bought.
First crop yearlings.
Yearlings, yeah. We foaled them out last year, so we've got first crop Northern Hemisphere weanling or yearlings, and we've got first crop Southern Hemisphere weanlings at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what type of, of course, you said they will wear up on their pedigrees and everything, but
yes.
What type of mares were you all looking for?
Nice young mares from good families. Uh-huh. And some mares obviously had good race records as well, but just buying into some good families, mares in foal to good stallions.
What particular stallions were you kind of looking for?
We had several mares in foal to the likes of Tappet. We've got mares in foal to Warfront. Giant's Causeway, Spitestown, the stallions you want to breed to.
Wow.
And can't afford.
Oh, wow. That's a mouthful.
I'll throw back to some of my vinery favorites, too, More Than Ready and Pioneer of the Nile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, you had them at vinery.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Which brings me around to American Pharoah. Before I forget it, I want to. You all raised him, did you?
Yes, yes.
You had him.
I got him at the farm when he was about 30 days old, and then unfortunately, the timing when the farm was selling, and that we had to move him on as a yearling. But I had him for most of his young development.
Okay.
Yes,
very good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to ask her that for Macaulay.
Yeah, exactly.
Raised on Macaulay products.
Yeah. He was a lovely horse to be around, just like his sire. And we also had Cairo Prince, another one of his very good runners.
Yeah, horse that's over at Vimery.
Horse that's
over. You all raised him too, huh?
We bought him as a short yearling and in January, and then we sold him the following September.
Yeah, Dick Elam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these are the first. No, you said you got yearlings, first.
That's
from the first horses that you buy.
Exactly.
75 mares.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's keeping me busy and out of trouble.
Well, that's good. I thought being married kept you busy and out of trouble.
Yeah. That too.
You got married in January.
I did, yes.
Well, tell me about the lucky man. That's what I want to know. You broke half the hearts in Central Kentucky when you did that.
Oh, my gosh, Ursula. You're making me blush now. Joe Schneider is his name, and he's from Lexington here. He's not in the horse business, but he may be in the horse business in the future.
Oh. Yeah, well, you marry into it, that's what you get.
He's probably listening to that now.
Well, congratulations to it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And to you, I hope you have as happy a marriage as I've had with Jackie.
So. Wonderful. Thank you, Ursula.
And last as long,
exactly. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, are they going to race? They're going to sell? What are they going to do with all these horses?
I think they'd like to race a lot of the horses, especially the fillies. You know, they believe very strongly in keeping some of the good fillies, to retain and replenish the broodmare band. So I think that will be their objective. But I think, with breeding some very nice types and having some good sire power, I think it would make sense to offer some for public sale also.
Mm-hmm. Do they have breeding programs in South America that Joe would send some of those,
like bread and chili stuff?
You know, like New York bread and that kind of stuff. You know, I just wonder if they do down there, if they have special purses for Chilean breads.
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. Not that I'm aware of, because a lot of the breeders in Chile, it became more of a hobby to them and a passion. You know, the purse structure obviously is a lot more inviting, you know, to race horses in the United States.
Yeah.
But Carlos Heller is the president of Club Hippico in Santiago. So their love of racing is, you know, it's a real passion.
Yeah. So they've been going all the way back into the 1930s, there have been a lot of good South American horses come up here.
Without a doubt. And they've brought up one of their good runners right now that, incidentally, is going to run at Santa Anita today, a horse called Bronzo.
Oh, I'll look for him.
Yep. He's a son of Fusiachi Pegasus. And
done very well down there.
He's done very well down there.
And he's doing well. This is probably one of his best years at stud. This, you know, years for, you know, he's got the Derby horse that's going.
Absolutely.
One in the Fairgrounds Derby, Louisiana Derby today.
Absolutely.
Ken Ramsey's horse.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll spit it out in a minute. Hey, let me interrupt you here.
I got to pay a bill. Excellent.
Well, last Saturday, Gulfstream, the Grade II $200,000 Inside Information Stakes was won by Classic Point, a six-year-old mare by Flatter. Tough, game, and durable, Classic Point is a typical Flatter. The Inside Information was her third consecutive stakes win. She closed out 2014 with wins in the Grade 3 Gold for One at Aqueduct and the Pumpkin Pie Stakes at Belmont. Bred by J.V. Shields Jr. and trained by Jimmy Jerkins, she has earned over $670,000. Flatter is also a sire of the leading three-year-old Upstart, who finished first in both the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth and the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes. Of course, he's one of three Flatters that goes today in the Florida Derby. Last year, as a two-year-old, he won the Funny Side Stakes at Saratoga, and he placed in the Grade 1 Champagne and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Bred by Mrs. Gerald Nielsen and sold at Saratoga for $130,000. He's earned over $779,000. He's a leading candidate for the 2015 Classics. Flatter ranked 8th on the 2015 sire list, and the son of E.P. Andy stands for $20,000 doing a full stanza nurses at Claiborne Farm. At this year's two-year-old sales, 10 Flatter juveniles were offered, 9 sold, and have averaged $231,444. Call Bernie Sams. Bernie is, here's his number, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my friend Hill and Reagan Parker. We're in the real estate business. And Hill, of course, I've known him for quite a while now. He's also in the horse business, trains horses, a very good horseman, A-level pony clubber, road steeple chaser, so you know he's a little bit nutty. But other than that, and a little bit broken up. But he's an excellent horseman and an even better real estate horse salesman. I'll tell you that because he sold a lot of farms around here. I know a friend of ours down in Bourbon County, he sold a farm. And they was extremely pleased with the relationship that they had with Hill and Reagan Parker. They've had over 12 years experience in the real estate business, and they presently they've got farms listed in Fayette and Bourbon and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark, outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices for that matter. And they, if you're looking for a farm, they can help you find just the perfect farm for you. And so let me give you their website, lexhorsefarms.com. LexHorsefarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, 859-608-8039. Great people to do business with, people that you can trust. And one of these days, I guess Jackie and I'll have to sell our little place, and they'll be the first person that we are going to call. Well, General Quarters is a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner over $1,226,000. He was precocious, won his first start as a two-year-old, won 4.5 furlongs on the dirt at Churchill. Brilliant speed, posted 5 100-plus buyers. He was versatile, winning Grade 1 stakes on turf, synthetic, placed in Grade 1 stakes on dirt, competing at 7 different tracks in 5 states. He ran against the best, met and defeated the likes of Wise Dan and Pioneer of the Nile. Cord Vision. He has an outstanding pedigree. He's the leading money winner among the 44 stakes winners by Pulpit Sky Mesa. Female family has already given us the top sire, Ms. Walker. And this is noteworthy. He was sound. General Quarter stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm for $5,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Give Pope a call, 859-252-3770. And go to the Crestwood Stands and always ask about the breeding incentives. The website, again, crestwoodfarm.com. All right, I'm talking to Francis Relihan, who is with Vinery and new organization over there. And
it's not Vinery anymore.
It's not Vinery anymore.
Don Alberto.
Don Alberto.
I'll have
yes,
to write
Don,
that down.
Does Don in Spanish mean Mr.?
Eventually, it does, yes.
See, Don Alberto.
Farm. All right. I'm going to write that down.
Don is like Mr. Alberto.
Well, she was
like
with Vinery when I knew her. Actually, you were with Jim Fitzgerald, I think, when I first met you.
That's right. That's been a while.
God, that's been a while.
It has. This will be my 18th year in Lexington. So I came over first. I worked at Hagar Davis & McGee. Uh-huh. And then I went to work for Jim. I worked for Jim for about 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then on to Ben Walden for 6 years.
Yeah.
And then I've been at, then I went to Vinery and I've been with Don Alberto now for just coming up on a year, about a year, close to a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yes.
You live on the farm, don't you?
I do.
Yeah,
that's absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, live over the store. So when anything goes wrong, there you are.
That's right.
That's the good and bad part.
But yeah, it's a beautiful setting, though.
Oh, yeah.
The good part is you threw away a cell phone.
That's how to do it.
That would be a good way to do it.
That would work.
Same office, I assume.
Same office
space.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So you didn't even have to pick up your pencil. You know, you just sat right there.
It was, a lot changed, but a lot remained the same. Yeah. That's right. That's
you, of course, as anybody that's listening to this should know by now, you're from Ireland.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to deny that with the accent.
exactly.
Yeah.
Was your family with horses or something?
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm in Ireland, and my family bred horses, not thoroughbreds, but we bred Irish drafts, we bred warm bloods, and ponies. Actually, I showed ponies as a kid, and we loved horses, and there was a lot of talk around the dinner table. It was horses all the time.
Yeah.
That's fun. What part of Ireland? Where?
North Kerry, which is down in the southwest. Not really horse country, but it's kind of dairy country. But it's a nice area.
Yeah. How'd you get involved with thoroughbreds?
Thoroughbreds. I was about 17 years old, and there was a farm in County Limerick, Mellon Stud, owned by Bobby and Sarah Barry. And started working with yearlings there on my summer holidays. And we'd prep yearlings for goffs in Ireland, and we'd go to Newmarket. And we actually consigned too at Indoville. So it was fun, and it gave me a great introduction to thoroughbreds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you decided you were going to come to Kentucky.
So I decided, yeah. I went to college in Ireland just to, to get my education and wanted to travel. And I graduated college with a science degree in the fall, and I was on a plane to Kentucky the following January.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you have the job before you came, or did you just come?
I did. I had the job before I came. I had been
with
talking.
Jim?
At Haggard's.
No, Haggard's.
Oh, at Haggard's. Haggard's. Yeah.
I had been in. I came over the previous November to the November sale, and I showed horses for John R. Gaines. And was my first introduction to Kentucky, and I was able to meet with the late Dr. Byers, Doug Byers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a guy.
He was incredible. And
loved the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was my first boss here, and I worked for him in the medicine facility for 2 years.
Aren't you lucky?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The best.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Absolutely the best.
Great teacher, too. And if you're willing to learn, you know, he would take the time, and he would show you and teach you.
We were blessed that he came on this show, and he was a regular.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he got so he would come every week. You know, he came on as a guest first, and he was so much fun to talk to. And and, you know, so knowledgeable.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and he loved it. This was after he had kind of retired.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, he was just, we were blessed and honored to have him on the show. You know,
I
think of him constantly.
Absolutely.
Got his picture on my desk at home, as a matter of fact.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
I have some great Dr. Byer stories.
Well, he was full of them.
He was. Yeah.
I better change the subject. I'm going to chew up talking about it.
He was on a couple of weeks, I don't know, and a vet pulled up out here when I was going out. Do you realize who you've got on that show? Well, I hope so. You know,
right?
Yes. Well, let me ask you something. This isn't hard. Does your family still raise cattle?
They do. Yes, they do.
I read somewhere that the EU has decided now that there's no limit on the cattle you can raise. They have lifted that.
They implemented milk quotas back in the 80s, and I believe that is getting, they're going to abolish the milk quotas.
Yeah.
So that did put a lot of restrictions on dairy farmers over the years. You know, there was a surplus of milk and dairy products in Europe at the time. But I'm not really sure how that will change the dynamics of farming in Ireland, but have to defer to some people that know a little more about it. But my family are now more in beef.
My dad were they dairy?
They were dairy, yeah. It's just that was a lot of work. And since my father has retired, he's gone more into beef. And, left the dairying behind.
Do you have any brothers, sisters?
I have two sisters.
Yeah.
I have one that's in Ireland and one in Australia.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we're all over.
Are they in horses?
No, they're not. No, yeah. No.
they sleep nights and don't go out in the cold and the rain.
That's exactly right, yeah. Yeah. I was the, I think I was the last hope for a boy. I was the third.
Funny.
I was the youngest of three girls, and my father's name is Thomas Francis, so they had already picked my name out. And so then I kind of became the tomboy, the horse person, the farm girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my middle name is Francis.
With an I,
of course.
With an I, of course. That's right. Yeah.
So yeah, we've got something in common.
We do.
Yeah,
we do. I never knew that.
Well, I feel sorry for you. Well, are you? Is Don Alberto Farm going to sell yearlings this year? Are you consigning yearlings this year to the sale?
We have some very nice horses, and the owners are going to be coming into town here shortly. So we're going to decide first of all who we're going to race, and then we'll see what the philosophy will be if we can offer some of these horses for sale.
Mm-hmm.
But they're obviously before the sale deadlines roll around, we'll make that decision here in the next while. Yeah.
Yeah, the deadline's coming up on us pretty quick.
Yeah, May 1st for Keeneland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Wow. You've been to Chile.
I have. Yes. Yes.
How many racetracks do they have?
Ooh, you're getting me on that one now.
I mean, lots or two.
Club Hippico is the main one.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure, but that is their main track.
And that's where they run. Do they ever like ship over to Argentina to run stuff?
They do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Brazil.
Absolutely.
Those are the three. Those are the three countries, aren't they? That,
yeah.
Well, they do have racing in Peru.
They have your racing in Peru as well. Yeah.
In fact, one of the top all age races, I think, is in Peru.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That'd be some place to visit.
Yeah.
That would be pretty neat.
Yeah. I remember when Bunker Hunt went down back in the 60s and was buying all the best race mares he could find for sale in South America.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, he did very well with them, too. They came up here with good producers. So there you are. You know.
Yeah, we have a couple of very exciting mares coming up here in the next month or so that we're...
Who are they by, for instance?
They're in... one is by Roman Ruler,
uh-huh.
And she was a multiple group one winner in Chile.
Wow.
And in foal to Master Craftsman, so a horse that's obviously stands in Ireland. They have been shuttling some horses from Coolmore in Ireland to Chile over the last several years.
Is that right?
So
you're kind of affiliated with Coolmore too then, huh?
Just with the shuttling of the stallions, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
That is
That is very good,
But it's very exciting, especially with the kind of stock we have on the farm. And, you know, I've been very, very lucky over the years off that property to get to raise some very nice horses. So I'm excited about many more.
Yeah.
We had, when Dr. Simon had the farm, for example, he never had more than about 25 mares at a time. And we had, obviously, outside client mares as well. But he bred 3 Grade 1 winners 1 year back in 2011. Out of, I think we had 23 mares for him that year.
That's amazing.
That was pretty.
Tell a little story about the first time the mother of the owner came up and he showed her the house and the farm.
Absolutely. Miss Liliana Solari, she's a wonderful lady. And her son was visiting in Kentucky, and he just drove past the vinery facility and saw the for sale sign, and drove onto the farm and just really fell in love with the property. And he did not tell her that he had an intent on purchasing the place. So she came back up to Kentucky with him about a month or two later, and drove onto the farm, and she had no idea. And,
wonderful.
He surprised her with the purchase of the property, which was that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
That is so nice.
Absolutely.
Good. Oh, you do that for me,
Jack. Good boy.
Absolutely.
Uh-oh, I'm running late here. Close Hatches, Classic winner 3, Eclipse Award winner 4, earn of over $2,700,000. Group Stakes winner Don Donnell. 2014 Stakes winner Privet Hedge. 2014 Stakes winner Pistols Drawn. 2014 Juvenile Stakes winner Irish Jasper. Tamberlane, another top 2-year-old of last year that ran second in group stakes in both Great Britain and Ireland. All black type earners. New Line, Kazuri, Beach Hut, Smoking in the Boy Run, more black type earners. All by First Defense, and all good reasons why he received the strong backing of not only Judmont Farm, but many outside breeders as well. So there are bigger and better crops of foals by First Defense on the way. Grade 1 winner First Defense by Unbridled Song, and a Grade 1 winner Honest Lady by Seattle Sleuth. Honest Lady, of course, a half-sister to Empire Maker. He stands for $10,000 live foal at Judmont Farm. Also at Judmont is a Grade 1 winner, Mizzen Mass, Sire 7 Grade 1 winners, Sire Classic winner, Sire of the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races, a great outcross to North American bred mares. He's by Cozine. Mizzen Mass stands for $20,000 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. 859-272-7629. See the website at airdrystud.com. Well, another weekend of racing, more stakes wins for runners raised on products from McCauley Brothers, to be exact, 4 more, including, that brings the total to 37 this year, 21 of them are graded stakes, 3 grade 1. Fairy Line, winner of the grade 3 $800,000 Sunland Derby, he won big, won by over 14 lengths, was bred and raised by Clear Sky Farm. The winner of the Pasadena Stakes at Santa Anita, Papa Cool, was bred by Chesapeake Farm and Gianca Stables. At Aqueduct, the Keza Electronica Stakes went to Double Down again, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. And the Karakoram Electra Stakes, also at Aqueduct, went to Before You Know It, bred by Hertridge McCarthy Livestock, Fred W. Hertridge III, and John Fielding, and raised at Watercress Farm. Congratulations to all. To join the winning team, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the products at McCauley Brothers and the free services with every bag of feed you purchase. See the website at McCauleyBros.com or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse.
It's a bit out of the way.
All right, I got to do my daily racing form here. Daily racing form is this week's Sunday edition, which is now on your website. Jay Hoveday has an article in there. You know, Jay is, in my opinion, one of the, well, if not the one of the top three best sports writers involved in racing, at any rate, going today. Byron King has an article on the status of Wise Dan, so you better find out how Wise Dan is doing by your racing form. You'll find out. Mary Rampinella has a couple of articles in there, one on the Valor Horse Farms, which is a Texas farm, the leading farm, I believe, down in Texas. And I understand he's got an article in there. I haven't had a chance to read it yet on the close that Fasig Tipton Sales Company is moving out of Texas. They're canceling a sale down there. John Sparkman, who writes for it every week, Metalli d'Oro, he's writing about him, and he has the horses having some success, spit it out, Ursula, success, down in Australia. So that so here's what you need to do is go to Daily Racing Form, visit drf.com/breeding update, and sign up today for that breeding edition. And it's very informative, and they give you the sire list. They give all kind of information throughout the week. drf.com/breeding update. So go to it and sign up today. Daily Racing Form, that's racing's Bible. All right. Well, I'm talking to Francis Rillihan. Francis is going to have to wrap it up here in a second. Don Alberto Farm and a new organization out on Spur Road. It's got good neighbors.
Very good neighbors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've known Pope McLean since before the kids arrived.
Wow.
That's been a number.
That's been a while. It's been a while, yeah.
Well, they're not that old.
No, I didn't mean it.
Wow, she said.
Generation or two. It's a generation or two.
Yeah, right. They've all got married and got kids now, you know, but they are nice people. They're really nice
people.
They are. So,
really,
of course, you've known them quite a while, too.
Yeah, I've been there 10 years, so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you all, I want to ask you one more thing before I let you go.
Sure.
Are you looking to buy more land? Did I hear you say that at one time, or somebody else tell me?
We're pretty full at the farm right now. We're pretty much at capacity at the current property at the old vinery. So I think we'll maybe take a look and see. You know, we have obviously a lot of options. Whether as the farm develops, whether more mares will go to Chile or whether we'll expand or what. But still very much you know, up for discussion as to what direction we'll go in from here. But but right now we are full on that property.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
But that's a very, very good complaint to have.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really
yeah.
is.
Yeah, it
yes,
is.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let you run.
Ursula, wonderful to see you.
Well, it's good to
Jackie,
see you.
And great to catch up and chat.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. We hadn't seen you in a while. Just talked to you on the phone.
That's right.
Every time you all raise another runner, I call up and make sure that you raised it because it was raised on my calling price.
That's right. Absolutely. It's nice to get those calls, though, because that means there's some nice horses coming down the line.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Thank you, Ursula. Appreciate it.
And come back and see us. We're doing business here all along, you know. I mean, same old pew.
Will do. Will do for sure.
Okay, Francis.
Awesome.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
So much. Bye-bye. Thank you.
All righty. Let's see. Runners, and I do mean runners, by the Shadwell Stallions, ran 1-2 in this year's renewal of the Correction Stakes at Aqueduct. The winner by scant head was the 4-year-old filly Mamduha by De Heer over the Tough Mare Expression, a daughter of Invisal. Mamduha has won 5 of her 6 starts, her last 5 in a row, and the Correction was a 3rd straight stakes win. She has also won the Gin Talking Stakes at Laurel and the Ruthless Stakes at Aqueduct for earnings of right at $300,000. Expression, in her last start of 2014, won the $100,000 Garland of Roses Stakes at Aqueduct. And she has placed in 3 stakes already this year. The Correction, the $100,000 Innerbar at Aqueduct, and the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie at Laurel. As game as they come, Expression has earned over $424,000. Grade 1 winner De Heer by the top sire Awesome Again, aside 18 black type runners from foals. Hall of Famer Invisor, like De Heer, is a proven sire of graded stakes winners. They both stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website ShadwellFarm.com. All right. Well, I should have a Briss stuck in there right now. Are you down there, Mary Jane? Mary?
Keep talking. Yeah, that was a fun interview.
Yeah. It was good to see Frances.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite people. She's a great girl.
Yeah. Well, Overanalyze covered 151 mares in his first season at stud last year. Breeders like what they see in him. Confirmation, racing class, over pedigree. Overanalyze has a lot going for him.
He was a superior two-year-old, winning two of the most prestigious stakes in New York, the Grade II $200,000 Futurity and the Grade II $250,000 Remsen. Many winners of those two historic races have gone on to become top sires. The next year, Overanalyze won the Grade I $1 million Arkansas Derby, besting, among others, Preakness winner Oxbow. And in two seasons, he accumulated earnings of more than $1 million. Overanalyze is by the very successful sire Dixie Union from the famed Northern Dancer sire line, and he's one of two Grade I winners out of Unicloud. His half-sister, Metabreeze, won the Grade I Matron, and it's a hard-hitting stakes family. The two most successful young sons of Dixie Union at Stud in Kentucky are Union Rags. He stands for $40,000. Overanalyze, his stud fee, $10,000, doing a full stance in nurses. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717, and see the website, WinStarFarm.com. All right. We got a problem down there or something? No Mary Jane? Maybe I insulted her by saying she had a party last night. Well, you want to go on and do some...
Yeah, is my mic on?
Yeah, do
now
some.
Now my mic's on. Okay. Spring Bay Horse Trials are Saturday, April 24th and 25th. The 24th... is a Saturday. It's at the Horse Park for dressage and stadium. And Sunday, April 25th, it will be at Masterson for cross country. And it's a lot of fun. They need volunteers. You need to get a hold of Beverly Henson. And how you do that is bevhenson@me.com. That's a lot of fun. Today is, I forgot what today was. It's a big show.
I believe it's the 28th.
It's, heck. I'll find it in a minute, but let me tell you what's coming up. Paul Frazier is today and tomorrow. I'm sorry. Paul Frazier is a big show.
Oh, okay.
Like the introductory spring, oh boy, it's spring show, only it's not very warm. Saturday, April 4th, will be the Spring Bay Horse Trials. That's one I just told you about. Oh, that's the 4th and the 5th. I'm sorry, I said 24th and 25th. They had that all messed up. Okay, Thursday, April 9th through Saturday, April 11th is Kentucky Spring Premier Horse Show. Laid-back atmosphere. Exhibitors get a first-class horse show in a beautiful setting. It's at the All-Tech Arena, and that begins Thursday the 9th. Oh, here's one. This is a dog show, German Shepherd Dog Show. Saturday, April 11th through Sunday, April 12th, it's at the campground. Huh. I've never been to one of those. Let's see here. She said as she turned the page, April 11th. My word. It's the United States Mounted Games Bluegrass Open. April 11th and April 12th. It's at the Rolex Stadium. If you want more information, call the Horse Park, because I don't know that much about mounted games. They run them all winter, and I guess this is their wrap-up. Okay, get ready. Thursday, April 24th through Sunday, April 26th is Rolex. Holy cow. Rolex starts out with cross-country. It's a four-day, three-day. 2 days across country, and then dressage, and then stadium, and it will be packed. I don't know if they have any tickets left or not, because it's unbelievable. Okay, Fox Sports 1 is going to air the Dubai World Cup, and it will start at 12:30. It's over at 1:30. It's Eastern time. On Fox Sports 1, I think we have that. Fox Sports Go is the other one. Now, you got me about that one, but I'm pretty sure Fox Sports 1, almost everybody has that. Okay, up some coming sales deadlines. April 1st, that's next week, entries close for the July 9th Fasig Tipton July sale here in Lexington. May 1st is the closing date for the September yearling sale at Keeneland. That's, of course, in Lexington. Okay, this is wonderful. High Hope Steeplechase is May 17th, and what I'm telling you early is they've got the cutest new addition to this year's steeplechase, the Bluegrass Farm Pony Challenge. It will be the first race just before the official steeplechase races begin. Designed to showcase and celebrate the region's youngest equestrians, Bluegrass Farm Pony Club Challenge. Local farms will sponsor a child rider age 8 through 13. U.S. Pony Club member pony 14-2 hands or under, and they will provide farm silks for their sponsored rider to wear. They're going to have two races, one flat, one jumping. They're a furlong each, and they go at a trot. There'll be a pre-race Calcutta, and everybody will be introduced, and that's really, really cute. Pony kids, ponies racing kids. I don't know how they keep them at a trot, tell you the truth. Okay, the Keep Foundations is introducing a new Horses Work license plate. Costs you $25. It's got a head of Seattle Slough on it, and I went and registered our one truck in the car, and I asked them about this, and because we had ours were due right now, and they said when they get the new ones, all you have to do is come in and pay $25. They will give you a new plate. So it doesn't depend on, you have to renew them when you're supposed to renew your regular license. 2015 Masterson Equestrian Trust Benefit Hunter Jumper Show. Saturday the 18th is Hunters. Sunday, April 19th is Jumpers. This is at Masterson. This is a great one, except they don't have anything for old women over 65 classes. They should do that. That's pretty funny. But maybe they couldn't afford to have an ambulance close by. I'm not sure. Nori Scheffel does a lot with that. Fee is $10 per horse. Stalls are $45. Regular classes are $17. Hunter Classic, Hunter Paris Derby, and Gambler's Choice is $20. So that's something to look forward to.
Well, let me give you some reasons why you should seriously consider breeding to Arch Arch Arch, Patio Prado, Tisway, or Wilburn. First of all, they stand a spendthrift farm. And if past performance means anything, that's a good thing. Consider how the first foals by In the Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, and Warrior's Reward hit the track running. Line of David has two first crop 3-year-olds on the Derby trail. In Firing Line, winner of the Grade 3 $800,000 Sunland Derby. Second by head to Dortmund in two graded stakes. And California Derby went across the line. Temple City has four stakes winners in his first crop, including among them a graded stakes winner and the winner of the Pasadena Stakes last Saturday at Santa Anita. Warriors Report sired 6 2-year-olds to win a place in stakes in his first crop. And, of course, In the Mischief is one of the hottest young sires in North America. Arch 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 won Grade 1 stakes. First crop 2-year-olds have sold for up to $120,000. Patio Prado won Grade 1 stakes, placed in the Grade 3 Kentucky Derby. Won over $1,720,000. He's by top sire of sires El Prado. Tisway earned over $1,359,000. Won Grade 1 stakes, run a mile 132.4 on the dirt. First crop 2-year-olds is sold for up to $320,000. Wilburn won graded stakes, and he's by the superior Cy Bernardini. So call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Go take a look at the Spencer stands. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at SpencerFarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million.
Oh, okay. Jackie, you got any more?
Do you
we just had a little technical difficulties there trying to get in touch with Steve Moody, and we weren't able to do it, Steve. I'm sorry about that. I wanted to win in the Florida Derby.
Why don't you do that?
Oh, what? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Want me to read a little Palmer?
Yeah, read a little Palmer.
Yeah, okay. This is compliments of Steve Moody.
There you go. Sorry, Steve.
Darn, I'm sorry about that, Steve. I wanted to see how I thought we were going to do at the ball game tonight against Notre Dame. Okay, this is an article. This was written by Joe Palmer a number of years ago, and it says horses are like some people. Well, the surest way to write a successful magazine piece is to write about men or women. For some reason, which evades me, they do not seem to know much about one another, and prudery forbids an obvious suggestion. So articles about one or the other are avidly read. And how are you, Dr. Kinsey? Failing this, a man may always make the front pages with an article on the relative intelligence of animals. I mean other animals. In most of these, the horse comes out badly, and it has to come to be an article of faith with some of our sports writers that he is deficient in intelligence as compared to the other domesticated or semi-domesticated animals. A horse cannot pile up boxes on a platform so as he can get at a banana on the ceiling, because he has no hands with which to pick up a box, and he doesn't like bananas anyway. He cannot very easily be taught to sit on his hindquarters and beg, because he cannot be easily supported in this position as a dog can be, and because it's a damn undignified position either for a horse or a political candidate, as horses realize and political candidates don't. That doesn't mean the horse isn't smart, as will be freely granted by anyone who's watched the Lipizzans perform in Madison Square Garden, flowing through the intricate maneuvers under what amounts to invisible guidance. A favorite story in this corner concerns a horse you probably don't remember. His name was Sands of Pleasure, and he was the first good horse to come from the Fairplay Roxanne cross, which was later made famous by Man of War and others. Sands of Pleasure was a stakes horse in his early years, but as time went on, he dropped down a little and wound up running and claiming races. But like so many of the horses with the turbulent blood of fair play, he had his notions. He was beaten a nose on the post one day. This was before the days of the finish camera, when the judges put the numbers up immediately and hoped they were right. The jockey on Sands of Pleasure came back, saw his number in the second slot, and pulled up to unsaddle. The horse diligently tried to throw him, and afterward tried to wrestle down the groom who was holding him and to kick several innocent bystanders. The trainer was disturbed because the fair plays were prone to grow moody and intractable as they grew older, which usually meant the end of their racing usefulness. So he tossed the horse into a race in which he didn't fit a few days later just to see, and Sands of Pleasure, beating some five lengths, came back blowing a little because he'd given it a good try, but otherwise unruffled. Well, if there's a secret to training horses, it's to understand how a horse thinks. And this trainer went to putting two and two together. Next time he started the horse, he gave the jockey some unusual instructions. "I think you'd win this if you get off fast," he said. "But if you do win it, don't come back to the winner's circle. Pull him out to the outside rail to unsaddle." Sands of Pleasure took the track, held his horses, and won, pulling up by a couple of lengths. He came back to the grandstand and was guided to the outside rail according to orders. The jockey afterwards swore that the horse turned his head and looked at him. Then Sands of Pleasure took the bit firmly between his teeth and went into the winner's circle, where he belonged. So the trainer had figured this one correctly. In that first race, Sands of Pleasure had disagreed with the placing judges and thought he'd won, and he took it badly that another horse was in the winner's circle. In the second, he knew he had been beaten, and that was that. In the third, he knew cursed well that he had won, and he was having no nonsense about it. In those pre-camera days, it was the custom of all losing horse players to insist that the judges were a set of purblind incompetents selected for their duties after an eye test in which they not only couldn't pronounce the words, but couldn't see the letters. Sands of Pleasure thus proved himself to have about the same judgment as a losing horse player, which rated him close up behind the chimpanzee and possibly ahead of the dog. That was Joe Palmer. One of his best stories there. All right, Jackie, you got some more announcements or something? We got about 5 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Hold on there.
Oh, I got one more thing I could like to read.
Oh, good.
Because I missed March the 20th was Man of War's birthday, and I got involved and didn't think of it last week, but it's better late than never. And this is a little poem. It was written by Joe Estes entitled Big Red, and this was about Man of War. It was written after his death, incidentally. The days are long at Belmont, speed they never learn, and it's many a day since Man of War's looped the upper turn. The guineas stopped their rubbing, the rider dropped his tack when the word went round that Man of War was coming on the track. The crowd was hoarse with cheering at ancient Pimlico the day he won the Preakness, but that was long ago. The dust is deep at Windsor, the good old days are done, and many a horse is forgotten, but they still remember one. For he was a fiery phantom to that multitudinous throng. Would you wait for another one like him? Be patient. Years are long. For here was a horse among horses, cast in a titan's mold, and the slant October sunlight gilded the living gold. He was marked with a God's own giving and winged in every part. The look of eagles was in his eye and Hastings' wrath in his heart. Young Equipoise had power to rouse the crowded stand, and there was magic in the name of Green Tree's 20 grand. And Saracen has sprinted, and Gallant Fox has stayed. Discoveries glittered in the wake of Cavalcade. We watch the heroes parading, we wait, and our eyes are dim, but we never discover another like him. A foal is born at midnight, and in the frosty morn the horseman eyes him fondly, and a secret hope is born. For breathe it not, nor whisper, for fear of a neighbor's scorn. He's a chested colt, and he's got a star. He may be another man of war. Nay, say it aloud, be shameless, dream and hope and yearn, but there's never a man among you but waits for his return.
Oh, you cry! You're crying.
No, I am not.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You get all choked up about Man of War.
I knew him well. Believe it or not, first funeral I ever went to. I've told everybody that my dad put the first halter on him, so I got to know him really well. Saw him many, many, many times, and he took your breath away. What do you got? Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll plug the trainers.
Wait a minute. I do have one thing I want to say.
Oh, okay.
The first of the Keeneland Library Lecture Series was wonderful. We went. Next one's April 14th. Glennie and Chris Oakford will discuss their book, The Iroquois Hunt.
What was the name of the gentleman that did the first one? Ever? He did a
wait
palm.
Wait a minute. Walter May,
and yeah. He
did Palmer.
He did Joe Palmer.
And yeah, kind of like that guy that does Mark Twain. Same kind of idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toba. April 18th to 19th, Thoroughbred Ownership Seminar, Windstar Farm in Keeneland. Go to toba.org. Out here, the Thoroughbred Center, our guy was here talking about fence building and stuff. This is where he gets his stuff, too. They're kind of hooked up. Thoroughbred Center now supplying fence materials, treated wood, bluegrass treated wood closed, and the training center took it over. They've got 9,000 posts and 4,000 planks. Called Jim Pendergast, 293-1853. That's about all the real.
Yeah, great supply of posts and fine planks. And they're hard to come by these days.
Yeah,
so,
you better get them quick because after this winter.
Yeah, they're priced right, too. You know, they're not gouging you.
No, they're not. Right. And after this winter, people are going to need a bunch, so you better get your dibs in.
Okay. All right. Trainers in the since last week's show, the saddle winners, trainers from the Thoroughbred Center, Dale Loveland, Juan Rubicaba, Scooter Hughes, Maria's Pinzon, Tommy Short, Marco Castaneda, Alberta Davies, Tommy Short again, Tom Bergen, another one by Tommy Short, and Dale Loveland. Dale, that horse, he won with him on last night, incidentally. Horse named Arctic Sky, and he's won 2 weeks. Let's see, when did he run last? He ran won with him on the 13th, came right back in 2 weeks and won with him again. All right. You can go to the website, UrsulEllisHorseTales.com, and we'll be up there eventually. And I want to thank Mary Jane down at the studio and all our guests that came by here, especially Francis.
Yeah, it was great to see you.
And Ressi, thank you so much. Go Cats! Talk to you next week.
Together.